Shalom. We are on Parsha Vayera, and I wish that all the words of this shiur be for the Leilui Nishma, the elevation of the soul of Baruch Mordechai ben Avraham, my father of blessed memory. It is written, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Kaved lev paro me'ein leshalach ha'am. And the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuses to let the people go. This is Shmot 7:14. Now, what really means Kaved Lev Paro? Pharaoh's heart is hardened. I think it means a heart of stone, which is something we learn from the Pasuk Venatati Lachem Lev Hadash Veruach Hadasha Eten Bekir Bechem. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put inside you, and I will take away the heart of stone from your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. This is Ezekiel 36:26. This is where we learn the concept of a heart of stone. And what is it? It is a heart that does not answer to consciousness, nor is it sensitized to a higher moral purpose that comes and challenges it from the outside. This is the individual whose misgeret, the frame of mind, does not encompass morality, or at best, he has an elastic view of it, very rarely finding it reasonable to stretch such a view. A very narrow sense of morality. In fact, morality is generally foreign to these kinds of people, to these kinds of hearts. He, in fact, has no guilt for his moral errors, nor is he prone to explain his actions in an attempt to legitimize them. There may be other aspects, perhaps of a more personal nature, especially when the subject is interrelationships, but essentially This is Kaved Lev Paro. Now let us examine the verse in Ezekiel. Vachasi roti et lev ha'even mi besarchem. And I will take away the heart of stone from your flesh. This is the milah, the circumcising of the heart, the removal of the klipa, the husk that keeps it insensitive. The gematria katan in the Sufit form of this pasuk just read is 68. What do we learn from this? It is written, those who desecrate it shall surely die. This is Shmot 31:14. The word for those who desecrate it can be understood to mean its emptiness. The root of the verb to desecrate, lechaleil, is the word for emptiness or vacuum, halal. Halal is chet lamed lamed. In gematria, this is 8 plus 30 plus 30, that's 68. Now, at the same time, the word chaim, life, is chet yud yud mem, which is 8 plus 10 plus 10 plus 40, that's also 68. So, the phrase, those who desecrate it shall surely die, can thus be read, its emptiness is surely death. The emptiness is the hollow of the doorway, the space through which the door swings, so to speak. The door is the body, and the body by itself, without the soul, is a lifeless corpse. We see here that the circumcising of the heart of stone, or not, has two results, possibly. One, if it is done, we have life, which is a state of consciousness about the divine, whatever level the person is capable of. If it's not done, we have death, which is the absence of the state of consciousness about the divine. So if the person becomes sensitive to the spiritual realities, sensitive to the other and his or her needs, this sensitizing meaning the removal of its interior hardness, the person lives. Now, if she doesn't do that, if there is no revolution of her feeling, and the person maintains the heart as a heart of stone, being insensitive to the spiritual realities, insensitive to the other and his needs, the person is as good as dead. Okay, clearly, an insensitive heart is problematic. But even that is not a condition that is always stable for a person. The person can oscillate in his or her sensitivities. So there is yet another aspect that even if the heart is sensitive, and many believe they live a state of sensitivity to others, etc., still, this other aspect hinders the rectify actions that should come about the proper feelings. In other words, the action itself is blocked due to this element that we will attempt to explain more now. It is also written, Vayichazak lev paro, and he hardened Pharaoh's heart. There's a difference here. We first spoke of Kavid lev paro. Now we're talking about Hazak lev. When we're talking about this second element, it implies that at times there may be sensitivities, and other times not. Sometimes Paro was sensitive and answered to Moshe Rabbeinu. Other times, he didn't. We'll explain that. Before getting to that, it's important to realize that a insensitive heart, kavid lev, implies that there is no bechira, free will, because an insensitive heart forfeits his very moral sensitivity. And if there is no moral sensitivity, there is no bechira, because you have no two issues to choose between. Bechira is only possible when you have to choose between two alternatives. When there is no moral alternative at all, there is no Bechira. Furthermore, the second element connected to the idea of Chazak Lev is an extra aspect, the final element, the foreskin of the heart. Because even if the person has great thoughts, deep emotions, noble desires to help, something stops the person from doing something in practicality. In this way, he or she comes close, but fails to reach the elevated consciousness of the divine, that point of yichud, of intimate union with Hashem, to which depends the proper actions, and not only the empty thoughts and words. So we see the complexity of a hardened heart, of an insensitive heart, because even if he's capable of spiritual perceptions and sensitivity to others, this heart is aware of the impracticality to conform to moral issues. He's too practical. Hence, he does not act. This is the foreskin that stops the action. The general concept of Chazak Lev could speak of is Chazaka, strength, might, spelled Chet Zayin Kuf He. And it has an absolute gematria of 120. Keep that number. This Chazaka is the interior aspect of the sensitivity in the heart. Now, when it has the wrong orientation, because it is a strength, a force, it becomes then a klipa, a barrier that impedes the proper actions. So everything depends on orientation. Later we'll see what happens when the orientation for strength, for gevura, gibor, exists, and it's oriented towards kedusha. You see, the understanding of a person is subject to forces. In the language of Sod, of the deeper meanings of Torah, there are five states of chesed and five states of gevura within da'at, which are propensities toward acceptance and rejection. They are implied in any emotional connection to the abstract idea emerging from chokhmah and binah, wisdom and understanding. They are thus the initial source of good and evil. There are five states of each because there are five emotions of content: chesed, gevura, tiferet, netzach, and hod. Yesod is a coalescence of the five emotions that preceded. That's for another shiur. The five states of gevura within da'at, understanding, are represented by the gematria of the tetragram, Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, times 5. The gematria of Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei is 26, times 5, that's 130. When only the states of gevura exist, we have a blockage, a force of rejection that is present and acting. Now, to go deeper, the Reshei Tavot of Kaved Lev Paro are the letters Kaf Lamed Pei, that is 20 plus 30 plus 80. That's gematria 130, exactly like the five states of gevura within understanding. So here we see the connection of the heart, understanding, and the wrong orientation for the force of the mind, the wrong orientation of the states of gevura that become a blockage for the person to act with sensitivity. And as it is known, to rectify this world of Asya, the world as we understand it, the physical world, in order to make a change, to make a tikkun, it is necessary to do something. For that, it is necessary to include the five states of chesed, which are, as said, the propensity towards acceptance, which are missing from the hardened heart. To put in practical terms, Paro understood it was wrong and completely unethical and immoral to oppress innocent people and to make them work hard and so forth. So he was sensitive to that. He was aware of the challenge But there was something that blocked him from properly acting and acting in the right manner. He was unwielding because the decision in favor of morality would have had adverse effects upon certain interests of the individual or the community. He was too practical. This force that impedes the final action acts like a shadow, a tail. Hence the necessity for a milah, for circumcision. Interesting that tzel is gematria 120, like hazakah. And we have a very important hint here from the word mulim. That word appears in Joshua 5, verse 5, which means circumcised, also of gematria 120. And now we need to explain these concepts a little deeper, going to the level of sod. First, we need to know that the gematria atbash of kaved lev paro is 856, and this is a very important number. I want to elucidate this number in relation to the concept of force or hazakah, already mentioned and explained, as one of gevurah and psychologically of propensity towards rejection or blockage. The issue of the five states of Gevurah with Gematria 130, remember Hazakah is 120, comes from, as explained, multiplying by five the Gematria of the Shem Havayah, which is 26, so we have 130. And also, together with the five states of Gevurah, we spoke of the need to find the proper orientation in Kedusha or not, and this will be addressed a bit later in the Shiur Mitzvah Shem. Going back to the number 856, the Gematriat Bash of Kaved Lev Paro, in order for us to understand more of why this number is significant, we actually have to learn about a yet much more significant number, which is 976. And for that, I want to bring an Arizal on Parsha Vayera, Sefer HaLikutim, that would explain the number 976, and of course the 856, and then after we're done with the Arizal, I'll add my thoughts to it. Basically, the Arizal is saying that the ideal level of perception, which he calls, in a sense, God's revelation in the Torah, this level of balance, of understanding, of sensitivity, is a level that Moshe Rabbeinu reached, and we should aspire to as an ideal, of course. And he reached in all aspects. And the Arizal says that these are included in the name Havaya. Okay? And he says that you see that this name Havaya, the sum of its front and its back is 976, which alludes to the levels of divine consciousness that Moshe Rabbeinu achieved. This level is called the explicit name, Hashem HaMeforash, spelled He Shin Mem, He Mem Pei Vav Reish Shin. That's 5 plus 300 plus 40, plus 5 plus 40, plus 80 plus 6, plus 200 plus 300. That's 976. It's very important, very deep. And now, the Arizal, in his known style, brings the calculations with the names of Hashem, and we'll take it from there. He basically says that the Yud is associated with the 72 name, this is Ein Bet, the He with the 63-letter name, this is Shem Sag, the Vav with the 45-letter name, this is Shem Ma, and the final He with the 52-letter name, this is Shem Ben. The sum of the Gematriot here, the numerical values of the fronts of these names is 232. That's just the simple values, that's the idea of front, just the regular Gematria. So 72 plus 63 plus 45 plus 52, it's 232. It's an important point here. And the numerical value of the backs, the acharonim of these names, are Yud, 184, He, 166, Vav, 130, and He, 144. It's important to understand what back means, the back of a name. The idea is that the withdrawal of divine beneficence channeled through one of God's names is indicated by the regressive iteration of that name. So it's a very important concept in the Arizal. So, for example, in the text, we just see the whole values, not the calculation, but it's easy to understand. The regression, or the back, or the harim of the Shem Havaya, spelled with 63 letters, or the Shem Sag, it's Yud Ke Vav Ke, then followed by Yud Ke Vav, then Yud Ke, and Yud. This is the idea of a regression. And now, of course, you have to do an iteration of that. You're really working with Miluim here. So Yud Ke Vav Ke, the first level, is Yud Vav Dalet, right? Because this is the letter Yud, the Milui of letter Yud. Then He Yud, which is the Milui of He, a possible Milui, because we know the difference in those names is the way certain letters are spelled. And then followed by Vav, Aleph Vav, which is the Milui of Vav, if we are spelling it as such. And then finally He Yud, which is the Milui, again, of He. In other spellings, it wouldn't be a Yud, it would be an Aleph, etc. But let's just finish this example. Then, on the second level, we are regressing here. So it used to be Yud, Ke, Vav, Ke, now it's Yud, Ke, Vav. We are diminishing the idea of withdrawing the divine Shefa. So, again, if we do the Miluim here, we have Yud, Vav, Dalet, then Hey Yud, then Vav Aleph Vav. That's it. There's no Hey Yud because we have one less letter. Then we do it again. Yud K. That would be the third letter. We see the Milui here. Yud Vav Dalet again, and Hey Yud. Nothing more. The other two letters have already disappeared. And the final letter Yud, the Milui, is just Yud Vav Dalet. And of course, you could put the numbers in all those letters. For example, the last letter is Yud. The Milui is Yud Vav Dalet. Okay, that's 10 plus 6 plus 4, that's 20. If you do the same thing for the other levels, well, the result is what the Arizal said for the back of the Shem Sag is 166. And you could do the same calculations for Shem Ayin Bet, Shem Ma, Shem Ben. So you have four different spellings. So basically, just to make it easy, the name Havaya, Shem Havaya, spelled with a Yud, that's the 72-letter name, the value of the back, if we do all that calculation with the Miluim, etc., it's 184, with He, that's Shem Sag, 63 letters, the value of the back is 166, then Shem Ma, which is the 45-letter name, if we do the calculation for the back, we have 130. And finally, the letter He, that corresponds to Shem Ben, we do the calculation for the back, we have 144, and the total here is 624. So, the idea ends essentially here, except with one detail that we will speak about later, that if you add the front values, remember we calculated the value as being 232, the 72 plus 63 plus 45 plus 52. If you add 232 plus the numerical value of the back of each one of those spellings of the Shem Havaya, which we found to be 624, if you add the two, you have 856. So there is a level of consciousness very important here in this number 856. But even though we have this incredible array of divine names and this number of 856, still we haven't reached this ultimate level called Hashem HaMeforash, the explicit name, the inner aspects of understanding, of a properly aligned mind and heart with Hashem. What are we missing? Well, from 856 to 976, we are missing 120. Now, the Arizal emphasizes the number 856 as something important, and we've shown that already, how this number came about, for the simple fact that he mentions this number as being the sum of 232 and 624. However, after that emphasis, he goes on and ends the equation here in order to reach the number 976. I want to quickly explain the Arizal's solution so we can move on to the next considerations. Basically, the way he comes up with the missing 120, so to speak, is by counting these names, which correspond to four letters of the Shem Havayah, together with the 10 letters used to spell each one of them, plus the Kolel. So, we have three letters that are always used to spell out the Yud of the Shem Havayah, two letters to spell out the He, up to three letters to spell out the Vav, and two letters to spell out the final He. So, basically we have 3 plus 2 plus 3 plus 2 equals 10. Now, the four letters of the name gives us 10 plus 4, it's 14. Plus 1 for the Kolel, we have 15. Since we're dealing with four names, we have 15 times 4, or 60. Then, he says that the same applies to the back of these names. So, the same calculation is made for the regression of those names, which turns out to be exactly the same. It's just a reverse process, and we end up with another 60, or in a different way of thinking, the 8 names, 4 the direct names and 4 being the back names, we have 8 times 15, or 120. And then when this is added to 856, we have 976, the numerical value of the explicit name Hashem HaMeforash, to which Moshe Rabbeinu achieved divine consciousness in all of its aspects, that is, its inner aspects. This is the Arizal section I wanted to bring to make my point. Now, clearly the Arizal's solution is extremely efficient because he finds the missing 120 using only the letters of the divine names, but stepping away from that in a different level, we can use a different way of thinking to find a similar solution. The idea here is that although we have a fairly complete array of divine consciousness expressed by the number 856 being the sum of the front and the back of these holy names, which is extremely important, substantial, there's something missing to achieve this ultimate level. And what's missing is that we need to incorporate the aspect of Hazakah inside this divine equation, so its orientation, after all it is an aspect of Gevurah, can be first towards Kedushah, holiness, and furthermore that these aspects, the states of Gevurah, can be sweetened, so to speak. It's interesting that I found a link here between Hazakah and Moshe Rabbeinu. The might and strength in holy actions coming from the pristine divine consciousness implies an aspect of Moshe Rabbeinu himself. And we see this from the fact that both the ordinal gematria of Hazakah and Moshe, which is Mem, Shin, He, is the numerical value of 39. They have the same gematria. That's the idea, which is very, very significant. Now, let's continue understanding what's missing on that equation. I call it equation, but we're trying to establish an understanding here, which is quite abstract, but very important to explore all these dynamics of the mind and the heart that we're talking about here. So I want to continue explaining a little bit more about the number 120 and its connection to the idea of hazaka, which is connected with gevurah, which needs to be properly oriented so as not to become a blocking, repulsive force in the heart of man. This needs to be sweetened, properly incorporated in a level of chesed that can sweeten these kinds of forces. Now, Shem Elokim is composed of five letters, and the five letters permute in 120 ways. If you do 5 factorial, you have 5 times 4 times 3 times 2 times 1, that's equal 120. As it is known, Elokim corresponds to Din, to Gevurah. It's interesting that the word shadow, tzeil, that I've mentioned before, means those 120 permutations of the Shem Elokim. This is something the Arizal brings it as well. But anyway, the principal manifestation of the name Elokim is in Binah, in the rational thinking, where judgments are made in the mind. Of course, because at the rational level, we're constantly judging one thing against another. Is it true? Is it not? Truly, although in the strict context of Kedusha, holiness, the name Elokim is only one name. However, in most people, the different permutations of this name Elokim is a plural form, indicating all the various types of judgments. So, in holiness, Elokim is God, is one name. But as judgments are issued from man, this name assumes a plural form, as I said, indicating various kinds of judgments. Or, in a different language, Elohim Achareim, strange gods. And we should not allow the name Elohim to expand to its 120 permutations, because 120, in fact, is also the gematria of the word molten, like molten gods, Elohei Masecha. So basically, if we are overly judgmental, we are very strict in our judgments, we are allowing these judgments to serve as the source, as the mekor, for the forces of evil, which are known as other gods. So the way to rectify this is by sweetening our judgments, incorporating them into this framework of positive judgments, which mitigates the severity of our thoughts. In fact, the Arizal says that severities are best sweetened at the level of Binah before they degrade to the emotional level, which could lead to improper actions, which ultimately can prevent us from acting in a righteous manner. Even if you have great thoughts, great heart, you need to act properly. And it is a spiritual rule that when Shem Havayah and Shem Elokim are together, Hashem Hu Elokim, all judgments in Elokim are mitigated by the Shem Havayah. So we have a rectify situation. We have tikkun, completion. This is the idea of the 120 missing from 976. The point being that this concept of strength, might, hazakah, needs to be properly oriented, not to become a overly practical, a barrier, a klipa that prevents the actions, even in a sensitive heart. No, they need to be integrated, as I have explained, so they can be sweetened. So when we say Gematria Atbash of Kaved Lev Paro is 856, in essence, we're saying that Paro was a great intelligence. He knew about many things, but due to the hardness of his heart, due to the wrong orientation of this aspect of his emotional system, the hazakah, the strength, being directed towards blocking and not a strength to act, he was thus incapable of acting in a moral, improper way. That's the kitzur, the summary of this point. Finally, we now also have the sod, the mystical level of the pasuk, Vayachperu avdei Yitzhak banachal, vayimtzeu sham beir maim chaim. And Yitzhak's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of living water. Bereshis 26, verse 19. Yitzhak represents holy Gevura. His servants are like the states of Gevura, that when oriented in Kedusha, dig, meaning penetrate the valley, which is a metaphor for the heart, removing the crust, the klipa, which reveals then the well of living water, the newly found chaim, life, now working in a much higher level of consciousness that comes from acting with a sensitive heart. Let's examine the gematria of this expression, bir maim chaim. Bir is beit aleph resh, 2 + 1 + 200. That's 203. Main, mem, yud, mem. 40 + 10 + 40 = 90. Chaim, chet, yud, yud, mem. That's 8 + 10 + 10 + 40. That's 68. If we add them up, 202 + 90 + 68, we have 361. And incredibly, if we look at the Sofei Tavot of the Pasuk, Vechasiroti et lev ha'evin mi besarchem, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, which is a mila, we have Yud Tav Bet Nun Sofit Mem Sofit. This is the Sofei Tavot. And the Gematria Atbash of that, plus the Kolel, is also 361. So open your heart, be sensitive, and begin a new life. In fact, the Gematria Atbash of Bir Maim Haim is 913, and that's the same Gematria of the very first word of Torah, Bereshit, in the beginning. May it be a new and sweet beginning. Baruch Adonai Leolam, Amen Ve'Amen. Shalom and Kol Tuv.